You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 13th, not a Friday, April 13th, 2022. The Ukrainian city of Kharkiv hit with 53 military, I should say artillery and rocket launches over the last 24 hours. 24 hours and 53 attacks on that city. They know at least two dozen civilians, including children, have been killed or injured, and probably many more. The changing spring weather means a ground invasion could prove a little bit more difficult because they're going to try to keep them on the main roads as the grounds begin to thaw out. But once they get solid, then it's going to make it easier for them. In the meantime, Ukrainian officials say no evacuation corridors will be open today because Russian troops have created a dangerous situation on the routes. Mariupol says 180,000 still waiting to be evacuated. And they're not going to let them out. Now, where's the sense in that? That's just punishing children and women and the elderly just because you can. Putin, is that the idea? So our Pentagon is convening a report, possibly at this hour, with top weapons makers to discuss what can the industry do to help Ukraine? Not what the U.S. can do, but what can the Pentagon mass weapon makers do? Well, we already know that we were going to send them some special helicopters, and we backed out of that. I still don't know why. They're still going to discuss that. They're still considering maybe putting in more Patriot system. But the bottom line is this Biden administration has been behind the curve from the very beginning. If we'd put all this stuff in place in Ukraine, as the troops were amassing around the border, they would have it. Because then once the shooting started, we leave. So we're not part of it. But we leave them with the equipment. Love to have what we left behind in Afghanistan in their hands. Some of it they could use. Oh, and you talk about trying to choose sides on this thing. Switzerland. The so-called neutral state forever and ever, not so neutral anymore now. They are going to adopt the latest round of EU sanctions against Russia and Belarus in light of what Putin has been doing. Good for Switzerland. As you heard on the network news, and I report in the last hour, the suspected Brookway subway shooter, Frank James, arrested, found in Manhattan, as a matter of fact, 10 shot at that subway station, put on a gas mask, threw a gas canister, and began shooting, firing at least 33 times. 15 or more hit. Investigators say they have linked the gun at the shooting to him, and they found out that going checking an Amazon account that that's where he got the gas mask. The investigation continues, and of course there's more cries from the left, more gun control! And yeah, it happened again last night. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who used to be a police chief, says we're going to have new gun detection devices put on the subways, and normally folks think of the airport model. We're going to use some other models that you don't know as you're walking through, you're being detected, and if you have any metal on you, they're going to stop you, and they may decide to stop and start checking bags. But that's not going to stop the leftists from their agenda. One of them last night on MSNBC insisting, and I'm afraid we're just going to move on so quickly. We're going to remain terrorized. We're not going to deal with it. We're not going to end it. Well, here's what Governor Kemp, Republican in Georgia, just did. He made Georgia the 25th constitutional carry state in the union. Amen. Now there are half of the U.S. states authorize you to carry a weapon. Second Amendment rights. In the meantime, former Democrat Lieutenant Governor Matthew Dowd, Texas Democrat Lieutenant Governor, says that You look at the red states that have lax gun laws, they have more shootings than the blue states. I don't know who he's referring to. He said the top five states for gun violence, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Missouri, and Wyoming. Let's just say he's right about the numbers. Then let's take a look and see how many of them were felons and got their gun illegally. How many legal gun owners were involved in these shootings he's talking about? Which, by the way, the Sacramento mass shootings that took place, the guy that is charged with that, one of them, charged with that shooting that took six lives, he was in jail in 2018, and someone, he says, threw some hot water on him, and the county gave him $7,800 cash. You can buy a lot of weapons and ammunition with that, can't you?
Connors USA News and Commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The morning rush hour quickly turning to chaos when police say a gunman put on a gas mask, opened two smoke canisters on a moving train in Brooklyn's Sunset Park, and opened fire.
We still do not know the suspect's motivation. Clearly, this individual boarded the train and was intent on violence.
One subway rider's cell phone camera rolling as the Manhattan-bound train came to a stop. Authorities say the gunman fired 33 times. Several people fleeing, some bolting onto another train.
I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Graphic images showing other victims bleeding on the floor. One of the injured describing the horror from his hospital bed.
All you see is like a smoke, black smoke bomb going off, and then people bum rushing to the back. This pregnant woman was in front of me.
Those are some of the events as they were being recorded yesterday morning. Of course, we're well 24 hours past the shooting and the New York subway system yesterday. And the investigation obviously continues. I had mentioned in news and commentary a moment ago, they had their suspect in custody, identified as Frank James. Now, in the beginning, he was identified as a medium-height black male wearing construction-type clothing. Do you know how many construction projects are underway in downtown Manhattan at any particular time that might have a black man of medium height working? That was not a real good value as far as putting that word out. And, of course, the bottom line is, at this point, unless it changes, there were three that were killed in that subway shooting, at least a dozen others injured. Of those killed, one was a 23-year-old woman and two young men, ages 21 and 22. I take it back. This story just came across and I misread it. These are three who were killed after the subway shooting. A 23-year-old woman and two young men, 21 and 22, all in separate shootings in the Bronx Tuesday night. and the 12 others wounded. Those were also in a series of shootings across New York City. This was after, hours after, the subway shooting. Now, the reason I bring that up is because the moment the subway shooting happened, they start looking like, well, first of all, it's got to be gun issue, gun control, and of course these shootings will add to their argument. But they're also going to start increasing surveillance on the subway system, which brings me to the point that many of the left, the progressives like AOC and others inside that blue city, blue state, New York, wanted fewer police on the subway trains. They didn't want as many because it was frightening to travel on a train with a man with a gun. Even though he's wearing a police uniform and bona fide police, it's frightening, threatening. So they didn't want as many officers on board the train. Now the former police chief Davis, who's the New York City mayor, says we're going to begin to step that number up again. No kidding. And we're now going to start maybe routine bag checking. And we're also going to come up with some new metal detectors that not similar to what you walk through at the airport that you won't know if we're surveying you or not. Will it help? I don't know. But, of course, the point is, every time there's a shooting, before they can even be treated at the hospital, much less if they unfortunately die and before a funeral, you've got leftists coming from every dark corner shouting, gun control, that will solve it. I read in News and Commentary something I want to share with you in more detail again. And that is, failed Texas Democrat Lieutenant Gubernatorial candidate Matthew Dowd was saying last night on MSNBC that red states with lax gun laws had the most gun violence. Now, because of News and Commentary, I had to shortchange the story. I want to give you more details on it now. He said the latest data we have, and he doesn't cite from what source, so I don't know how valid it is. I want you to take his word for it, then we'll tell you why. The last data we have, more than 45,000 in America in 2020 died from gun violence. That number might well be right. I don't know. He said that's more people in 1 year dying of gun violence in America than have died this entire war in Ukraine. What's the connection between gun deaths in the U.S. and Russian military action against innocents in Ukraine? Just because he can make that connection, that's supposedly going to make it look like it's a bigger issue. And it's some of their comparisons they jump to, like comparing Trump to Hitler, things of this nature, they go so far overboard. They deflate whatever balloon they're trying to put in the air. But he goes on to say, if you think about it, and I know this gets into a political argument, Matthew Dowd is saying, the top five states for gun violence, the top five are Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Missouri, and Wyoming. I'm not sure I believe that, but let's just go ahead and accept what he said. The bottom five states, Rhode Island, a blue state, Hawaii, a blue, Massachusetts, blue, New Jersey, blue, New York, yeah, blue. He said there's a direct correlation to where there's lax gun laws to where there's strict gun laws and how much gun violence there is. No, there's not. Look at how tough the laws are in Chicago and how many die every weekend in Chicago. Go to Detroit, go to Boston, go inside New York City, not just the whole state. And on top of that, that still doesn't say those doing the shooting were law-abiding citizens who suddenly decided to go wild with a pistol or a rifle. They might have been shooting someone to protect themselves, or maybe they were thugs anyway, and they weren't even supposed to have a weapon. But don't let the facts interfere with their good narrative, because they're building a whole narrative out of that. And I mentioned earlier also that Governor Brian Kemp, Republican, making Georgia the 25th constitutional carry state in the union. Good. We need to have uniformity and acceptance all across the nation, just like your driver's license. It's a Second Amendment right. I should be able to carry my pistol into Illinois without any worry. But right now, if I get stopped, I'll probably be incarcerated and charged. If I have a driver's license and it's valid, I won't be charged with that. We should have reciprocity with every gun law. But, of course, they want to continue to push back and make a big deal as to what we need is more gun control. And, in fact, another MSNBC guest is suggesting that, really, maybe New York police officers should be spying on out-of-state gun shows. Because, see, they're thinking most of the guns coming into New York are coming from out of state because they supposedly had really tough restrictions. Well, most of those who are using the guns, be they in New York State or Chicago, are convicted felons. They're not supposed to have a gun, period. There's a lawbreaker. There's your gun law. You're not enforcing the law you got. And you want to put more laws on to punish, penalize good Americans following the law, and you're going to make them more vulnerable. So the other part of this story that I really want to get into is not just so much of the guns, and they're tracking down exactly where he got the gun and how. But the guy has, I from what I've seen, there were some reports that came out that there was a prior file on him out of New Mexico. But I don't know if that was confirmed or not. So I don't know if the man was had a criminal history or not. We'll go through that later. But what he was doing, he had a string of rambling, profanity-laced YouTube videos decrying the U.S. as racist and a violent place. So he's on YouTube and Facebook repeatedly using hate language, a lot of profanity, and they didn't take him down. What happened to all their sensors, their special algorithm that would catch stuff like that, that if Larry Connors mentions the word COVID, put a slap of warning on his Facebook, for real COVID information, go to this location. They let him continue with his YouTube videos, doing that on a constant basis. Did you ever see me when we were live streaming on YouTube using a range of connected race hate words and calling for violence? No. You saw me express opinions. You saw me interview Sidney Powell. That also ticked off YouTube just because I chose a guest I wanted to interview. You don't have to like her or don't like her. I mean, I choose guests I want to. It's my program, my choice, and they may or may not be somebody I personally like or believe in, but I want to hear their thoughts. That's what this is about. See, the program, while it certainly has a conservative lean, and I am, and there's also independent views, there are also some liberal views expressed, some that I know many of my conservatives do not buy into and won't agree with, but that's fine. I'm also looking at not ways for polarizing us, but bringing us closer together. But YouTube saw it simply as pushing, I don't know, Trump propaganda or whatever. They never gave me a reason why. Not that I really care when you get down to it. But a lot of the viewers were interested and they were watching and we were beginning to pick up steam. And the more we picked up, the more they began to put pressure on it until finally they decided to shut us off. That's why now we're at rumble.com. We live stream our programs at rumble.com. You don't have a Rumble account, you can simply get one, open it up, and you put in the search column, Larry Connors USA, all one word, Larry Connors USA. It'll open up a page. You go down and push the one that says live. Now, if you're listening hours after this program goes off the air, you're listening to the podcast of the program, and you can go to that Rumble screen, but you won't see live, but you can see the program as it was recorded live at that point. But we're only live, obviously, as we're on the air live. But see, that's the contradiction that exists that we cannot get around. And they've purposely put it there. They put up a detour sign, a stop sign, a construction area sign, anything to distract you while they let all the lackeys of Hollywood run around, do whatever they want to and say what they want to. And then if they get caught, oh, my bad, I apologize, I back off, I'll be nicer. If you're looking for rhyme and reason, there's neither to be found with the state-controlled media. That's why we need to win the House, control the House, win more seats in the Senate, control the Senate, and start investigating all this behind the curtain, covering up state-controlled media and big tech. Oh, yes, the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden stories as well. You bet. Coming up, how abortion is just a yawn to some people. Stand by, please.
About a pickup man.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And something cool about me, Miss Hammond? All right, so something that's really cool and unique about who I am is that I am transgender. So we touched a little bit about that at the beginning of this week in the book that Miss Hammond read, but I'm going to give you my explanation about what it means to be transgender as well. So when babies are born, the doctor looks at them and they make a guess about whether the baby is a boy or a girl based on what they look like. And most of the time that guess is 100% correct. There are no issues whatsoever. But sometimes the doctor is wrong. The doctor makes an incorrect guess. When the doctor makes a correct guess, that's when a person is called cisgender. When a doctor's guess is wrong, that's when they are transgender.
Is that not one big load? I frightened my board operator, Mark, in there. I'm shaking my head. No. Once he started talking, I'm thinking, this guy is so far out. And Mark thought he hit the wrong cut. No, you're right on it. You followed the program exactly. That is a teacher who's a man now, born a woman. He's a first grade teacher. He's addressing a group of students second and third grade, telling them, basically, let's just break it down. When you're first born, the doctor guesses if you are a boy or a girl. Just guesses. So, see, you don't need a medical degree. Did you know that? You don't need a medical degree to be an OBGYN to deliver babies. And you might even think that men can carry babies, too, which is not true, but we'll get into that later. But here he is teaching second and third graders that they're just guessing if you're a boy or girl. You may look down in your pants and you see technical term, a penis or a vagina. And that might define you, but it may not. The doctors could be wrong. They just guessed because you had one or you didn't have one. Are we not supposed to follow the science? Is that not what they preach all the time? All the time? But in this case, no. And here we are teaching and discussing this with second and third graders, and he'd already done it with his first graders. Now, this is a private school at Boston. I don't know if the parents are aware of this curriculum being taught to their kids. I would say this, if they're aware of it, they have no problems with it. Shame on them. We're going to pick up another part of his story in the next segment. But let me share something. In fact, I'll let you hear him say that whole thing again in the next segment that you just heard. And we'll break it down in more detail. But I want to share something that was written for the Daily Signal by Tim Graham, Director of Media Analysts at the Media Research Center. He said, abortions are violent acts ending in death. The badly named mainstream media loves them. The Washington Post, which claims to hate things dying in darkness, boasted Sunday of a new pro-abortion law passed in Maryland over the veto of the Republican governor. The reporters, he writes, gushed the new law puts Maryland at the vanguard of abortion rights nationwide, expanding access, requiring most insurance companies to cover the entire cost of the procedure. The Post describes this as abortion protections. Not so much for the baby. I don't have time to get into it in more detail, but by the way, there's also a study out from one institute that the use of medical abortion has increased, now accounting for more than half of all abortions, taking a pill as opposed to the other. All right, when we come back, I want you to hear again from this teacher and the same statement you just heard, because it's worth hearing again, because this is what this teacher is telling second and third graders. Stand by, please.
Email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And something cool about me, Miss Hammond? All right, so something that's really cool and unique about who I am is that I am transgender. So we touched a little bit about that at the beginning of this week in the book that Miss Hammond read, but I'm going to give you my explanation about what it means to be transgender as well. So when babies are born, the doctor looks at them and they make a guess about whether the baby is a boy or a girl based on what they look like. And most of the time, that guess is 100% correct. There are no issues whatsoever. But sometimes the doctor is wrong. The doctor makes an incorrect guess. When the doctor makes a correct guess, that's when a person is called cisgender. When a doctor's guess is wrong, that's when they are transgender.
Yeah, I wanted you to hear that a second time. The name is Ray Schuyler, first grade teacher at Brook Roslindale School, Boston area charter school. I said private, it's really a charter school. Could be, I guess, considered private, depending on exactly how it's funded. But telling 4- and 5-year-olds that he, she is transgender, and the doctors, when you're born, they don't know if you're a boy or girl. They just guess. And many times he said they're right, but other times they're wrong. But it's really cool and unique about me that I am a transgender, because the doctors guessed wrong. They said I was a girl, but I'm not. We'll come back to his story in just a moment about this. In a Facebook post, he apparently had written about laws like the one recently passed in Florida. I know, the one they say, don't say gay. That's not what it says. Parental rights is what it says. That protect children from K through third grade from adult sexual content and sexualization. The remarks he made in front of those kids would be banned in Florida. And he'd be charged with breaking the law. But what he put on Facebook in response to it, he said, wherever there are bills introduced targeting trans youth, we always hear the argument these laws are protecting their peers and preventing confusion. Well, let me put it this way. Does it say ban gay in it? No, it doesn't. Does it say even use the word gay? No, it doesn't. But you're going to argue that protecting children is not correct wording either? That's exactly what that is in the bill, to help the parents protect their children, be aware of what's happening. And kids do get confused. They get confused about, if you told them to go down the street and do a certain item before they got down there, they might forget what it was. No, I'm not talking about Joe Biden. Just stop that. I heard you. I heard you out there. Not talking about Joe Biden. I could do it. I have done it. I'm sure you have too. But at that young of an age, do you really need to be discussing that kind of thing with them? Why does anyone want to have a conversation like that with a 2- or 3-year-old unless you think you might help groom them? Now, grooming is a term that a lot of folks were not aware of, but it's been in use for some time, and it's basically making somebody more pliable, and especially a term used by pedophiles. Now, let me insist on something. Not all homosexuals, in fact, most of them, are not pedophiles. They are homosexual, but they're not pedophiles. In fact, a majority of pedophiles are actually heterosexual or bisexual. But introducing sex, I don't care in what way you're talking about it. Not at that age. It's not age appropriate. And when you do, at the age that you decide you're going to, parents need to be aware of what's going on. But you know what they're doing in New Jersey public schools? And hear this, New Jersey public schools. Kids as young as the second grade, starting this September, this September in New Jersey, if you have any friends or relatives that have kids going to public schools in New Jersey, be aware that in the second grade, they could be taught that puberty blockers are an acceptable way to manage adolescents, and that, and again, these are clinical terms. If this distresses you hearing it on the radio, good, because I want you to think of being a child hearing this for the first time, and really you think it will not add to your confusion? They went on to say that not only are puberty blockers a manageable way to manage adolescents, but that masturbating a few times a day is a healthy way to relieve stress. And they even put together a video. Well, of course they did. They put together a video of titled Masturbation Totally Normal, and teaches children that it's a safe, physically safe way to express sexual feelings. The video shows a boy dropping his pants and then under a blanket until he finishes and grabs a tissue. I know. I hear you. I know. Larry, how can you read that on the air? How can you let it be taught to your children? That's where you should be putting your foot down. That's what they're going to do in New Jersey. These lesson plans were given to parents last month, 2 months ago. And they've got these videos, again, for fifth graders on graphic sex-related content. And they do say that if you want more time to explore about your gender before your body starts to change, it's important to talk with a parent, counselor, therapist, doctor about the feelings you have regarding your gender. And that is, again, in pushing you maybe you're in the wrong body. Well, this second grade teacher was explaining to the students that the doctors just guess, and with me, they guessed wrong. And here's what happened with my life.
So, I'm a man, but when I was a baby, the doctors told my parents I was a girl. And so, my parents gave me a name that girls typically have and bought me clothes that girls typically wear. And until I was 18 years old, everyone thought I was a girl. And this was super, super uncomfortable for me because I knew that wasn't right. The way I like to describe it is like wearing a super itchy sweater. The longer you wear it, the itchier it gets. And the only way to make the itching stop is to have everyone see and know the person that you really are. So when I was 18, I told my family and my friends that I'm really a boy. And it was like this huge weight had been lifted off of my shoulders and I had the freedom to be who I truly am. And even though this experience is super challenging sometimes, it made me the person I am, and I'm super proud to be transgender.
Okay, if it worked for him, fine. And I've told you before, if an adult or a child is that confused about their sexual identity, I pray for them. But I fear right now that too many are pushing an agenda on children that are in a transitionary stage and they are confused, or maybe they just want to join the crowd and they won't be bullied, so they just kind of go along to get along. But there are those who've had the surgery, and they're not so happy. And in fact, the New York Times columnist published a piece saying that she is LGBT and admits that educators are pushing that ideology on students, and writes it's obvious kids are going to come out of high schools, be accepted and bullied or abused. And then she pointed out that educators are actually leading kids in sexual and gender identity revolution. And goes on to talk about not so happy the fact that she went through the change. I'm going to spend more time on this on a future program because it's very detailed and talking about how she did have a change for her gender. Surgery and everything, and I'm not happy with it, but can't really go back. Now she's stuck where she is. I don't know what does it say in here what age the decision was made, but she clearly admits schools are indoctrinating children into LGBT ideology and grooming them and LGBT identities. Keep an eye on your child at school. Let me give you something to really lift your heart before we wrap up today's program. And it came from the winner of this year's Masters at Augusta. His remarks need to be echoed coast to coast and around the world.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
On the road again. just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The reason why I play golf is because, you know, I'm trying to glorify God and, you know, all that he's done in my life. And so for me, my identity isn't a golf score. You know, like Meredith told me this morning, she says, if you win this golf tournament today, if you lose this golf tournament by 10 shots, if you never win another golf tournament again, she goes, I'm still going to love you. You're still going to be the same person. Jesus loves you.
Jesus loves you. And he said, being a golfer is what I do, but I do it to glorify God. And he said, I'm glad I'm blessed with the talent I have. That is Scottie Scheffler, who won this year's Masters. Being very direct during the interview, the 25-year-old talked boldly about God and his life. And, of course, he answered their sports questions as well. And he found ways to work it in even when it wasn't called upon. But he wanted to make sure you understand, I give all the glory and praise for my success to God. Now, maybe you aren't so religious. Just consider this. He was born with perfect hands, feet, legs, so that made him possible to play golf. A lot of us have that, but could not achieve what he did. Now you can say, well, it's just practice, hard practice. Well, it involved that as well. And a lot of failures along the way. It involved that as well. But is he not entitled to say on his own that I give the glory for what I achieved to God? Yes, I worked hard, and I was nervous. So you're going to hear more of that in just a moment. You have to keep in mind, here's this 25-year-old. He's become the fastest winner in history, winning 4 major PGA events in only 57 days. 57 days, he won 4, beating Tiger Woods' record of the shortest record in days to rise to number 1 after winning his first PGA Tour title. He's obviously accomplished. He's obviously has a lot of talent. He's obviously humble. And you know what happened when he got to the 18th hole? If you were watching it or you're aware and you follow golf and the Masters, he had a major lead. He had a major lead. But when he got to the final green at the Masters, and I know people who are watching this at the time were like, oh, my gosh, there's no way he can blow this, can he? Can he possibly do this? He first putt was for birdie. He was on the green. He was putting for birdie. It rolled away and went on the low side. So they're still ready to, okay, he's going to make a par. Okay, no, he didn't make the par. He's going to make the bogey. No, he didn't make the bogey. He ended up 4 putts to put it in the hole. 4. And he admitted, yeah, I was a little nervous. He said, I had kept my nerves in check all day long, but now I reach this point and I'm bleeding by so far, I know I've got it. He said, I guess that shows why I got so careless at the end, that my concentration faded. 4 putts. And he still wins. Only by 3 shots. So he came into the hole leading by 7. He could have putted 2 more times, still missed, and still won, at least by 1 shot. But, I mean, that was a display that made a lot of people just their stomach cramp severely. And I'm sure for him as well. But he said he was having a conversation with his wife that morning as they were headed out to go play.
I cried like a baby this morning. I was so stressed out. I didn't know what to do. I was sitting there. I was telling Meredith, I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this. You know, I'm not ready. I don't feel like I'm ready for this kind of stuff. And I just felt overwhelmed. And so she told me, who are you to say that you're not ready? Who am I to say that I know what's best for my life? And so for what we talked about is, you know, that God is in control and, you know, the Lord is leading me. And if today's my time, then it's my time. And if, you know, I shot 82 today, you know, somehow I was going to use it for his glory.
Yeah. That's quite a testimony. And it's going to be a great testimony for young players coming up behind him. He is going to echo sentiments of we've seen from other numerous pro players. They often get mocked and made fun of. And so did Jesus Christ and his apostles. But Scottie Scheffler, thanking God for his win. I absolutely love it. Love it. Maybe next year I'll be there. No, I mean, God can do miracles, but let's look at something else. Hey, as always, I appreciate you listening, watching us live at rumble.com. Don't forget our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.